If you would, you can find our scripture this morning in John 8, and we'll be resuming our lessons where the Lord Jesus Christ declared to the Pharisees and the scribes this astounding truth. This is an astounding truth, that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Oh, how the world needs light. And Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's need for this world since the creation. Since the fall in the garden has lain in darkness. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, in our previous lesson, Jesus was in discourse with the Pharisees who claimed they had never been in bondage to any man. Oh, how they forget, how quickly they forget. But the bondage Jesus talked about was their bondage to sin, for sin was their master, and they served their master. Oh, how sin is a master. They, of course, had a nature to sin and were simply doing what their nature demanded. You know, you're commanded by your nature. And if you have a nature to sin, you're going to sin. And until you're released from that bondage, you'll continue to sin. But God created them to serve, as we've learned in the garden. But without a new nature, they were only able to serve sin. Now, when God created all things, He created beings to whom He gave a charge that they have dominion over all else that He created. We were given dominion over this earth. God planted Adam and Eve in the garden, and He told them, you have the dominion over this earth. This is a task that I am giving you. I am giving you this task for you to serve me. So the first beings with this dominion were Adam and Eve, whom He gave the order to dress and to keep a garden called Eden. So by this, we see that in the very beginning, God created men and women to serve Him. That's our purpose. We have a purpose, a God-given purpose, and that purpose is to serve Him. We were created by God, our Creator, to serve Him. But you know, Satan came along. He recognized that Adam and Eve were created to serve God, but he robbed our service to God through the act of disobedience, which led us to serve Satan instead of God. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote of this in Romans 6, 16 through 18 and verse 22. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Two choices there. We don't have a multitude of choices. You know, today is the day of choices. My wife goes to get a 5-pound bag of flour. She comes home. Oh, no. Self-rising flour. I didn't mean to get self-rising flour. I wanted non-self-rising flour. All-purpose flour. I mean, you can put it on your face. You can douse your hair with it. Huh? It's all-purpose. And if you want to impress someone with your hard work in the kitchen, you throw it on your face. Oh, I've been working all day. But these are the choices. We're full of choices, but God gives two choices. He says you can be a servant unto death, or you can be a servant unto righteousness. Now, why would you choose to be a servant unto death? This is kind of like saying to a child, would you rather have this cookie or this carrot? You know, the child will take the cookie all the time, but we take sin unto death as our choice, do we not? But then Paul says, but God be thanked. Oh, you better do that every day. I hope you thank God every day. You know, do you thank God every day for your situation in shade and in sunshine? God expects it. God expects a thankful servant. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. You, light, came into the world, and doctrine came into your ears, into your heart, which caused you to think about being a servant unto death, and now you're a servant unto righteousness. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Praise God for Jesus Christ, who brought all that about because he's the light of the world. So Jesus Christ has bought us. He's bought us back. Satan robbed us from him. Now he's bought us back, and the price was exacted by the Father. Jesus Christ said, well, what's the price to buy them back? You've got to shed your blood, my son. You've got to go to the cross, my son. You sure that's the price, Father? Yes, that's the price. Oh, I'll willingly do that to buy them back. And he's brought us back to our Creator's purpose by the shedding of his blood and created us to be new in all things. Oh, it's new. It's a new day. My name is written down in glory, and it's mine. You know, there's a book in heaven, and you can open the book, and my name is in there. Isn't that wonderful? Is your name in there? Don't you want to get your name in there? Don't you want to be on the list? So he's bought us back by the shedding of his blood to be new in all things, and not only that, but to be conformed to the image of his Son, to the image of Christ, who is our servant example. And as our servant example, his motive for service was his love of the Father. You know, you can be a servant and hate your master. Go through the motions. You can say, well, I got to do all this today. I despise that man. I despise that woman. But Jesus Christ loved the Father, for we read in John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. See the connection with the love of the Father? Obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, people say, oh, I love God, and then they go and live their own way. They don't love God. But we were created to be servants, and we're going to be servants one way or the other, in bondage to sin or in liberty to Christ. If in liberty to Christ, we can then apply what Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. You know, we're God's workmanship. God says, I've got a project. I've got this person to work on. This person, oh, his workshop is full of projects, and we're his projects. And he's building us. He's putting this characteristic in this person. He's doing this person, this person. All of us are individuals, but we're his workmanship. But all of us are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Have you done any good works lately? Oh, yeah, I did a lot of good works. Wonderful. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, we come back to servanthood. God started the garden with servants. The servants were robbed. He bought them back and he put them back to work in the garden as servants. So Christ, as truth and the light of the world, continues to present truth and light to the religious hierarchy of Israel, who continue to be a servant of sin. Now just picture this. In this chapter, the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious hierarchy are standing before Christ in their wonderful religious garb, colorful, fancy, engraved, knitted, whatever, beautiful garb. And our Lord is standing there as a common folk in his dress that's dusty and dirty as he travels through the trails of Israel. And he faces them. Oh, our Lord was strong. Our Lord was courageous. He faced them. He didn't kowtow to them. He didn't see their might. He saw God's might. And he walked in God's might. And he said in John 8, 37 and 38, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. They claim to be Abraham's seed, don't you know? Oh, they were dwelling on the physical. That's all they had, to dwell on the physical, to dwell on this earth, to dwell on the senses. That's all they had. So they claimed that relationship to Abraham. And Jesus Christ, I know of this physical relationship to Abraham, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. My, how the word has to have place in you. Jesus Christ said, if you're saved, I'm in you. The word is in me. The word guides me. The word keeps me straight and true. My word hath no place in you. You've rejected my word. You've pushed away my word. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Two different fathers here. Oh, they thought there was only one Father, but they forgot that there was their father, Satan, whom they served. So herein, Jesus acknowledges that these before him are the offspring of Abraham. They are descendants in the natural or the physical sense, but Jesus Christ is more interested in Abraham's descendants in the supernatural sense. Are you a child of Abraham? Well, I'm not a Jew, but you can be a child of Abraham in the supernatural sense. He gives us an important spiritual principle here. Abraham's true children are those who follow Abraham's example of faith. What is Abraham father of? He's the father of faith, believing God. Oh my, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted what? Righteousness unto him. God looked down and said, that man's righteous. Yeah, but look at all the things he's done. Oh, he's righteous. Why is he righteous? Man of faith. Believes me. Believes my word. Takes my word in. He's a man of faith. Paul amplified this in Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You may be a Jew. You may be able to trace your line back purely. Oh, we didn't have any interlopers in our family. We didn't have any outsiders come in our family. Everybody was pure. Oh, we're so proud of that. We can trace it back to Abraham. Paul says, phooey. Phooey on that. I don't know if Paul ever said phooey. But we used to say it when we were kids. I don't know if kids say it today. They say a lot worse. I think probably in our day, phooey was a swear word, you know, and we would say it behind the shed. But Paul says that's claptrap. That's another word, Phil. That's claptrap. That's trash. That doesn't mean anything. Because he says, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If you claim Abraham as your father, you better be in the household of faith. These men who were the seed of Abraham were not the children of Abraham in the sense of this verse. In these men before him, the teaching of Jesus Christ had found no room, no place of acceptance. So it was obvious that they were not children of Abraham. Children of Abraham have room for the message of Christ. They have room for Christ. They didn't even have a little crack in their heart for the word to enter, for they exhibit no faith. For these are they who desire to kill Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? How'd you like to have that on your permanent record? Stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and God points his finger, you killed my son. Remember that day that you hated him and you wanted to kill him and you got the Romans to put him on that cross? Remember that day? How'd you like to have that? But an awful hatred was at work in their hearts. But he reminds them that he can be trusted because he is a witness of that which he speaks. What he speaks as an eyewitness, just like these before him do what they do, because that is the character of their father, the devil. Jesus Christ is heading for this. Accusation. He's heading. For like father, like son. You know, I think back on my father. He died when I was 21. I regret that. I wish I would have known my father as an adult. Never had that opportunity. But my father had certain characteristics, which sometimes I look in the mirror and I start seeing my father. But we mimic our father. We're chips off the old block. We're acorns that don't fall too far from the tree. Oh, the acorns. Can you talk about acorns in this area? They're all over the place. But these trees that we have are so full of life. But acorns don't fall too far from the tree, and we don't fall too far from our fathers. But Jesus was from the Father. And he revealed exactly the character of the Father. Remember, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. You want to see the Father? Yeah, I want to see the Father. I'm going to spend my life trying to see the Father. And he says, look at me. You look at me, I'm the Father. I don't want to look at you. I want to search for the Father. What fools they were. But Jesus Christ revealed exactly the character of the Father. And they reveal the character of their father, for they were of their father, the devil. And their character revealed exactly the character of their father, whose spiritual offspring they were. Jesus Christ revealed God in his manner of life. They reveal the evil one, the devil, in theirs. They were the spiritual seed of the devil. You know, what father does your character reveal? You know, you can walk around and people can say, that person has a father of this sort and this sort and this sort. What character does your father reveal in you? So we're to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. John 8:39-41. They responded, oh, I'm sure ire and hatred was building up in their hearts as they faced these truths. Who was this person from Nazareth? No one, nothing good cometh from Nazareth. You know, it was one of those towns. We've got towns around here. Nothing good comes from, let's see, I better not say. No, I better not say that either. We've got a history there, Phil. Do you know something I don't know? But they answered and said unto him, they disagreed with him. And they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, O our Lord, is so bold. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. You know, these folks, he plays the trumpet. Now, who plays the trumpet? He plays the trumpet or the trombone. He plays the trombone. He plays the trombone. They're doing the works of the Father over here in the Woods family, following in their steps, music, presenting music, the works of the Father. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of the Father. You know, it used to be more so that way. You'd go in the stores in our little town, Johnson and Son, Smith and Son. The sons would follow the Father, and the Father would sit down and show the son, this is how you do it. Well, I want to do it this. No, you don't do it that way. You do it this way. This is the way the Johnsons do it. Like father, like son. And he said, if you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. That's not the work of Abraham. A man that hath told you the truth. Oh, how people hate the truth. You know, if you want to get rid of a pest, witness to him. Witness to him. They'll shut up and they'll leave you. They'll run. They'll hightail it for the hills. I don't want anything to do with you. Now, they may not. They may light up. And you continue to witness to him. But he said, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You're not of Abraham. Look at your works. Look at your minds. Look at your thoughts. Ye do the deeds of your father. Now, what was he inferring? He was inferring Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But the true son duplicates the character of the father. Oh, how important fathers are. Isaac, you're going to be a father. You've got to impart your character to that child. That's your responsibility. I'm telling you now. Take it to heart. Be serious about being a father. Don't be lax in it. Don't think she's supposed to do it either. You don't want a son being raised by a mother. Totally. You want to be in there. You want to have your character impressed on that child. You better have good character. But a father is pleased to see his son carry on his works. A son who does his father's will pleases his father. Abraham believed God and did his will. Abraham heard God's word and believed it. He was told to give up his father. Leave this country. Leave your loved ones and go to a far country. And then he was told to give up his son. And Abraham said, yes, I'm on my way. Load up the donkeys with the wood. Come, son, we're going to the mount. And he was willing to do that. And God looked down and was pleased. Here's one person that will obey me. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But God's word found a place in Abraham. And now these Jews are claiming that Abraham is their father. Talk about a joke. Talk about a lie. They didn't know anything about faith. Jesus says that this cannot be, for my word has no place in you. If you were Abraham's children, my word would find place in you because my word found place in Abraham. Has God's word found place in you? Are you people of faith? Do you believe God? Do you walk in a righteous state because you believe God and your faith is accounted unto you for righteousness? But their testimony revealed who their father was. And it was not Abraham, for Abraham would not seek to kill Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you imagine such a thing? You know, anyone who has a heart of murder against someone who tries to impart the truth of God is not a heart inspired by faith, but a heart inspired by the devil. It is not the heart of Abraham. Their father, the one whose works they perform, is a very different person from the Abraham that Moses wrote about. Now, did this make a difference in these religious hierarchy Pharisees? No, they puffed up. They wouldn't take any truth from this itinerant preacher. So they say in John 8, 41 through 42, we be not of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. How about that for a truth? If God's your Father, do you love Jesus Christ? Do you make it a habit to come before His presence and say, oh God, I love you. I want to serve you. Put in my heart the desire to serve you out of love. And He says, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. I'm His servant. Now we take those words, we be not born of fornication, to mean that they meant that they were not bastard Jews. Sorry for the word, but it's descriptive. Whose blood had been contaminated with idolatrous alliance and compromise, such as had taken place with the Samaritans. We're not half-breeds. Well, we can trace back our line all the way, pure. They claim purity with the bloodline of Abraham. None of them had joined with the sons of Ishmael like they thought Jesus was claiming they had. The Jews cling to tradition. Oh, how tradition is their support to be their tie to the Father. Pure Jews in the pure line of Abraham. Therefore, God must be their Father. But Jesus rebukes them for such shallow thinking. Jesus does not endorse the fatherhood of God. You know, back in my younger day, that was kind of a prominent thing to think about the fatherhood of God. That all men and all women and all children had God as their father. That's a myth. That's not biblical. He may be their maker. He may be their creator. But they have chosen their father, and it is not God the Father. John tells us this in the first epistle, 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's how God becomes your Father. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved to be a son of God. Saved to be a person who can call Father God, his Father. But he tells them that their hatred of him makes it perfectly clear that they do not know the Father. For if they knew the Father, it is clear that they would love the Son. If you claim to know God, you must love the Son. If they knew the Father, the Father's character would be seen in them. They would love the Son as the Father loves the Son, but they did not love Christ, and so it is today. You know, a man or woman, boy or girl, cannot know the Father except by knowing Jesus Christ. Every religion in the world that denies this is false. Only a religion or belief, a Bible belief that presents this truth, you get to the Father through Jesus Christ. There is none other name given among men whereby must be saved. That's absolute. There's no wiggle room. There's no room for doubt in that. The fatherhood of God is a myth perpetrated by Satan himself. The truth of the matter is that the only fatherhood that exists for all men is the fatherhood of Satan. Now, that's the fatherhood that is perpetrated by Satan, as though it was fatherhood of God, but it's the fatherhood of Satan. And the only way a man can be loosed from that fatherhood is through his adoption by the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. So Jesus retorts their claim, and he asks a question, but then he answers the question. Why do ye not understand my speech? And he says, even because ye cannot hear my word. You know, if you don't hear God's word, you can't understand God's word. You have to hear God's word with your ear and your heart. Why do you not recognize what I say? It is because you do not hear my word. You claim to be the children of the Father, and my language is the language of the Father. Why then don't you understand my speech? And he asks the question and answers the question. Those who are truly children of God will recognize the Father's message from the lips of Jesus. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't it wonderful that the Father has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and yet the world rejects that revelation? But Jesus tells them that they are incapable of understanding him because they do not hear him. Oh, we can hear with the ears. But you know, most of us, most of the world, have a direct tube from this ear to this ear, and it goes out the other end. Their ear picked up what he said audibly, but their heart did not apprehend it, for their hearts were dead. They were enslaved in sin, and sin has no light to shine on truth. So Jesus Christ responds powerfully in this next verse, such a powerful response. Jesus Christ gets down to the point. He faces these Pharisees and scribes, the hierarchy of Israel, and perhaps points his finger, I don't know. But he says to them in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. No innuendo here, a clear statement that your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Your father hates, you hate. And your father was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he describes their father, and in describing their father, he describes them. How'd you like to have his finger pointed at you saying, ye are of your father, the devil. But you know, if you're unsaved, if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that your father is the devil. And in order to be loosed from that father, you can only be loosed by the blood of Christ, who invites you to come into his family through his blood by faith, trusting in him to bring you into the truth. But this is the climax. This is the peak that the Lord was climbing as he faced these false teachers, as these false preachers, these sons of Satan. Oh, how our Lord was so courageous and so bold and gave us these truths. How would we know these truths had not the Bible give us these truths? For we would, as others in this world, continue to walk in darkness. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to know God. How wonderful it is to walk in the light and to walk in the way, to walk in the truth. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the halls of heaven, the glories of heaven, and came to this wicked place and walked the trails of Israel to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're so thankful, Father, for these folks that have listened so carefully. Perhaps we've offended, we didn't mean to, but we pray that you just undertake for all of us to trust the Word of God and to have the Word of God dwelling in our hearts. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.